The running time for this Rain Hamcast podcast is 19 minutes 52 seconds with an ID break after 9 minutes 52 seconds. There are 5-second breaks to reset Echo Link and All-Star timers about every 2 minutes 50 seconds.
This is Rain Hamcast podcast number 79, posted November 12, 2022, voiced by Eric Guth, 4Z1UG, and Will Rogers, K5WLR.
They've been working on this for, you know, 2 or 3 years now, but you just can't wait to get to this ship. And once you're in the boat, it's like, whatever it's done, and we just go do our thing and then make sure we come back safe.
The words of Otis Vicens, NP4G, a Puerto Rican ham who is scheduled to participate in the January 2023 3Y0J expedition to Bouvet Island. Otis was interviewed recently by Eric Guth, 4Z1UG, for his QSO Today weekly podcast. This is our second of 2 excerpts from that conversation.
You're part of the 3Y0J Bouvet Island 2023 team, who's going to make an assault on probably one of the worst places on the planet to try to go operate ham radio. A number of teams have tried this in recent years with no success. How did you get involved in 3Y0J?
Late December of last year, I get this Facebook message from Kenneth, LA7GIA. He's the team leader. And it was kind of weird because when you send text, you just go straight to the point. Hey, listen, do this. And he was like, hey, Otis, how you doing? How's the family? And I'm like, you don't really get those texts. He's like smoothing the way for the popping the question. I think, how'd you like to go to Bouvet? And as he said, is this much, 2 months out of your life or whatever? And I'm like, okay. And I remember when he announced before that I support him and I told him, hey, put me on your wait list or whatever. I didn't really think that he would end up calling me, but he did. So I immediately call him on the phone. We spent an hour and I'm like, Kenneth, let's go slow. Tell me step one, step two. And he tells me about the whole thing. And okay, well, I've got to be honest with you, Kenneth. I think your call comes in at the perfect time because I'm young enough that I'm healthy and I could do that. I'm old enough that my life is okay. My office is well. My work is stable. So it's perfect timing. And I said, give me about 3 days. So I go up to the wife and I just lay it out there. She's like, are you freaking crazy? And okay, so forget about that. Starts working in my mind. That's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I got to be honest, I read a book, which is really cool. It's called How to Die with Zero. And I forgot the author now, but it says you die and you left $1 million in your bank account. That's $1 million worth of your life that you just wasted, where you should have tried to die with zero, essentially. So he brings a lot of examples. And in one of the stories, he said when the guy turned like 45, he did a big party with Insane Barts. He invited all his friends from all his life. It was like 40 people. He paid for everybody's ticket for a week there. And it was the memories that you get. For me, it was like, well, you know, I'm only going to get to go to Bouvet once. I always want to do the expeditioning, stuff like that. Yes, this is the hardest one. So I go up to my kids and I tell them, hey, guys, they just invited me to go to Antarctica. They're like, well, that's really cool. You should go. Okay, great. So 2 days after that, I go to the wife again. And this time, you know, I did it right. We had dinner, had a little glass of wine. And I said, honey, I have to talk to you. I'm really considering this Bouvet thing. Hey, what do you mean? Well, listen, I'm still young. Office is fine. Work is stable. I think it's the perfect timing. And this is only going to be a once in a lifetime trip. And she gave me the look and she said, well, okay. So after maybe a week after that, I text Kenny back and I said, hey, Ken, I'm in. Let's go through the paperwork and stuff. And he said, great, go in. And we started doing the documentation, getting all the stuff ready. And that's it. So I'm officially the third doctor of the team. I'm a dentist. Adrian, Kilo 08 SCA, he jokes that there's never been the expedition like this with a dentist. So he's always giving me a hard time about that. Okay, so let's prep to it. I have to get all the equipment. I'm not a team leader. I get an answer, an email or two a day. I don't even want to know what, you know, being a team leader in one of these things is like. I went to Norway. I did some Arctic training in Svalbard back in April. On the way back to Norway, I left my equipment there and actually just got put into the container that's being shipped out this week to Falkland Islands. So that's it, man. He invited me over and then a couple of the teammates and we started working ever since. So we're really looking forward to it.
So you were able to convince the wife. The business is such that you can just reschedule all your patients for when you come back. How long do you think you're going to be gone?
I'm scheduling myself for 2 months. We're leaving probably at some early in January. So I had some colleagues that, yeah, I'm really thankful for them, that they're going to be covering me for a couple of days, whatever, they can volunteer to work. I really have to be here before March 1st. But that's the longest I'm ever going to be away from my wife and kids.
How are you going to communicate with them while you're gone?
We're going to use through our pilot station. We're going to have satellite phones and internet connection. We'll most likely will be like that.
You'll have the ability to send email back and forth.
Yeah, but because we have very limited bandwidth back then. It's all like weather related. If it's bad weather day, we really can't upload our logs or do any of that stuff. So, but most of it's going to be through our pilot station. We're going to have a couple of them scattered around, but the lead station. So all personal information is going to go through that. And I said, of course, you know, if it's something like really important that you really have to tell me, then of course, send a message. If it's something like the kid don't want to eat their food, I don't really need to know about that. It's part of the prepping and prepping the family, prepping myself in every aspect, physically, mentally, spiritually, just to get ready to get on my wildest, most adventurous trip in my life.
What kind of workouts are you doing in order to prepare yourself physically?
I've been working out. I have a personal trainer. So I told him, hey, listen, I got this thing coming up, and I explained to him what it was. And he started doing the routine specifically to do that. One of the things that he said, you have to develop some endurance. So what I do is once a week, I go out on some hiking trails. I started a mile, maybe 2 miles when I started back in January. Now we're doing like 6-7 miles of walking, going up mountains and stuff. And then the last thing that I was doing is I have a vest with weights. So I'm trying to be able to carry more weights as I do that. It's really hard to prepare for the cold here because, you know, we're in the tropics. Or 100 degrees and humid, but it's part of the trip. What I've been doing, I've been taking cold showers since January. And that helps because even though temperature here, and I don't know, probably get to like 60 degrees maybe. When I was in Svalbard in Europe, it gets like 40 degrees and you know, the cold water on the shower. 40 Fahrenheit. We're just finishing up our summer here, so water should start to get cool. And the other thing is when I go training, it's 7 in the morning, 6 in the morning, it's already 80 degrees.
Now, are you doing any rock climbing? Because you have the videos that you're looking at of Beauvais is essentially the place you want to be is up some pretty steep.
Yes, so I did some glacier climbing when I was in Svalbard. All the members have to take ropes, basic course at least. So I got mine scheduled for October. So the plan would get to the island. We're essentially going to land on a beach. And then after that, we have our Arctic consultant, which is a gentleman, Peter is his name. So he's got like 30 years of experience. We're going to climb the glacier and then set up infrastructure on top of the cliff, like a pulley system or like a levy, so that with that we'll be able to, with ropes and stuff, to bring all the gear up to the mountain. So it's 8 to 10 meter cliff that we have to climb. When they were planning the whole stage, they were thinking, okay, so how can we do a boat landing on Beauvais? The previous attempt was with the helicopter. They went and communicated with the Norwegian Polar Institute. They met with people that have been to the island many times doing research, people that have sailed those waters, and they all agreed that it was on Cap Fee, which is on the southern tip. Southeast part of the island. We saw a video recently. There was in 2012, a father and son team, and they landed on the exact same beach that we're going to land. They climb up the glacier. They put a time capsule on Beauvais itself. I don't think we're going to go look for it, but it's there for sure. But the whole idea, you know, was that it can be done. We'll get there. We'll wait for the weather windows. Once the weather windows are there, we have our Zodiac staging prepared. So if we're able to get at least one boat across, and the weather deteriorates, those guys will be able to sustain themselves. I think it's if we get up to boat number 3, that's enough for like to have one radio station in the air. And it'll probably take a day or two, maybe, if weather cooperates. I think it's a total of like 15 to 20 Zodiac passes. And we're going to be using 2 Zodiacs at the same time to speed it up. We should be in the island 3 weeks, maybe 21 to 28 days, depending on what. If weather is nice, we could stay longer, but it's the captain of the boat. If he says, we got to go, we got to go. Safety is the main concern here.
Is there a mooring for the boat? Will the boat be moored off the island, or does the boat have to maintain some distance?
No moorings there, so it's going to be anchored out while we do the Zodiac thing. And then after that, they can move around, go a little bit outside, come in. Because, you know, he has to take care of his ship.
You're listening to a conversation with Otis Vicens, NP4G, a Puerto Rican ham who is scheduled to participate on the 3Y0J Beauvais D expedition scheduled for January 2023. We conclude Eric 4Z1UG's interview with Otis after this break for station ID. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. You're online with the Radio Amateur Information Network, RAIN. We'll be right back.
This is the RAIN Hamcast, available both on therainreport.com and YouTube.
The good thing here is that the captain of the ship is the owner, so he's not going to run into a storm. We got weather maps and things like that, and he's going to try to make that route so that we go through the smoothest part as possible. Of course, it's Southern Ocean, so it's really, really unpredictable. But once we get to the island, they have to be there offshore. We do our exchanges with them every couple of days if we can, get some more water, you know, take out the trash, take out all the other stuff. And then once we're ready to turn off, then do the same thing, but on the way back.
Okay, can I ask a question that no one's going to ask you?
Yes.
Do you have life insurance for this trip?
Yes.
Would a life insurance company cover you on a trip like this?
What we're required to take is the medevac insurance. So we probably get that maybe sometime in December before the trip. And that's coming out of South Africa. So if we have any problems, the area is the South African Navy or Coast Guard. They're the ones that are going to be coming over. The fastest they could get there is 5 days.
You have medevac insurance, meaning that the South African Navy will send probably a ship and a helicopter to kind of winch you off the island and hopefully save your life.
Yes. So they're the ones that will cover the areas. If there's whatever boats around, you know, call or whatever. But I have life insurance. I really hope everybody does. I check with my carrier before going, and I got an email to prove it. And he said, it's fine, you're covered. So I really have no intention to use that.
I guess the reason I'm asking the question is because obviously you're a middle-aged guy with a profession and a business and children and a wife at home. And this is probably one of the most serious assaults on a de-expedition location of any of the places that essentially that hams go. And there's a lot at stake. I'm not trying to make it bigger than it is, but there's all of these factors that kind of go into making this decision. And obviously this decision was not made just by you. It was made by you and your family.
Yep. Everything's taken care of. I even have some of the staff that are going to take care of bills and just stuff. Life will continue while I'm away. The family here is going to be following us on Facebook, and we're going to post stuff whenever we get a chance about how things are going. There's some satellite tracking that you can do to the ship as well, so you can know where it is. So we'll have some of the communication like that. But I think, you know, the biggest challenge would be the day we set up camp and the day we disembark. After that, is just to hang out, and also the going into the seasickness part of the adventure. We have our two doctors who are ready. We have the medication list is incredible. The equipment, the hydration, the IV fluids, all that stuff. It's just they've really thought about probably every potential problem and have some kind of mitigation that way.
Are you doing some sailing so that you at least have some sea legs and familiarity with being out at sea?
This friend of mine, he's a sailor, and we've been trying to get on ships and boats and just to have a feeling of how it feels like. But unfortunately, the only way to really know it's if I can get a, you know, a ship here and go out, you know, 3 days out to sea and then come back. But nobody does that here. People would just go, you know, island hopping. But that's just like a few hours. So that's not really what we're going to go through. But it's an experience, and there's medication for that. There's food for that. And I've been talking with friends. And we even had the doctors recommend it before we go that we try the seasickness meds to see how we cope with it. So that's something that we're going to be doing as well. And it's just waiting it out. We have medication to help us sleep for the journey. Everything that could potentially go wrong. And even for hydration, there's a couple of ways that they could hydrate us. Our stomach is not doing well and all that. So hopefully we don't get to use that. But we'll be ready in case we have to. And Dr. Bill is, yeah, you have to use special equipment. I'm going to use it for you guys.
The ship that you're on is the Marama. It's a sailboat. Is the idea that's why you're leaving from the Falkland Islands is that you're going to take the winds mostly?
Yes. The thing with the Marama is that it's an Antarctic expedition ship. What it does is that during the season, which is from like November to March, they do trips from Argentina down to the Antarctic Peninsula for tourism, for research, stuff like that. So this boat is equipped for that kind of weather. It's aluminum body. It's got heating. It's got the water maker. It's got 6 rooms. You know, it's kind of sizable. So the idea with the sailboat is I can get really close to there. So the winds and the ocean currents in the Southern Ocean, they always go from west to east. So the idea would be go from Falkland Islands, and then it should be about a 7 to 10 day trip going to Bouvet. And then after that, it's going to be maybe a week to go up to Cape Town, which is our final destination.
Does that make the trip cheaper in terms of the overall cost? I think the ships that were used for earlier assaults on Bove were diesel ships.
Yes, well, the ship, the 3Y0 Zulu team, 4 years ago, they went out of Chile. And then the plan was for them to return to Chile. They're going to use diesel the whole time. For us, our diesel, and the other thing that we have is our plan to use diesel as least as possible because that's the fuel that we're going to use in the island. So if we eat up the diesel on the way there, that's less operating time that we'll have on the island. So we'll try to use the sail as much. After that, we'll have to, you know, sail our way back to Cape Town.
With a sailboat, if you run out of diesel fuel, the boat can still propel.
Yes, it can still move. It might not be easy when you get to the ports and all that. But it has a motor, and the good thing about the ship is that they normally, during the summertime, it will go and do the Northwest Passage. So this year, they skipped that. It's been in Brazil in the shipyard since April, being refurbished, being tested, being prepared. So we had our Arctic consultant. He spent 4 days there in April looking at the ship, measuring the ship, telling us how much stuff we can carry, going through a list of item by nuts and bolts to make sure everything's in top shape. And he's the one that found the ship, so he'll be, you know, he's making sure that everything is going according to plan, and he's going to be with us on the trip. So we're always going to have a professional by our side leading the way.
What's your specialty when the camp is set up and you're on top of the mountain and it's time to operate?
I could do any mode. Phone, I like phone, I like CW. And we're going to be doing some FT8 as well. The way that we're going to set up is that we want to be, and our goal is to make 200,000 QSOs. If we get to that, that's going to be the biggest expedition in terms of QSO numbers. We can have up to 4 FT8 stations on the air. We're going to have 8 regular CW phone stations on the air. So our maximum will be 12 operating positions. All the antennas have been tested. Everything has been tested. So we want to make sure, and even the antennas, some of them, we had them kind of custom reinforced for the winds and all that. So the shelters, where we're going to be living in, the three main tents, one is going to be the operating position. The other one is the social, where we're going to be eating, you know, hanging out, that kind of stuff. And then the other one is the sleeping quarters. So two of them will have heating systems in there. So we'll be living in there for at least 3 weeks. No showers, so we're going to do our little water and cloth and cleaning and hygiene and all that stuff. And then once we get back to the ship, you know, the ship has, you know, all the amenities. So we actually have one of the crew is a cook, so we'll have meals from the ship on our way there and our way back. And occasionally, if we can get a real meal whenever there's good weather, then we really appreciate it. Otherwise, it's all MREs, so meals ready to eat, preparation of water we get from the ship. And then we'll get some rainwater that we're going to use for our toilets and stuff like that.
When you leave Puerto Rico and you're headed to Argentina, to the Falkland Islands, what are you carrying?
I'm carrying my clothing for the boat. So my clothing for the Bove is already in the container, so I'll get that on the boat. I'm sure I'm going to bring some Puerto Rican rum maybe along with it.
Is that Bacardi rum?
You don't get that. Don Q.
Oh, Don Q. Okay.
I might take some of that. I don't know yet.
Are they encouraging like laptop computers, cell phones?
All the laptops are already in the container. So the only thing you need to take is your cell phone, let's say your camera, and your clothing and your stuff for the boat trip. Because all the stuff that we had for our own personal clothing, it's already packed. Everybody brought their luggage in April, and it's been loaded into the container, so it's going to be in the boat in Falklands by the time we get there.
You're not going to even check luggage. You're going to carry what you can carry in your backpack.
Yeah, carry my backpack. I'll have a check luggage with the rest of the car. So I'll have my Bove bag, my regular bag, and maybe a backpack. That's it.
And that concludes Eric Guth, 4Z1UG's conversation with Otis Vidzins, NP4G, a Puerto Rican ham who is scheduled to participate in the 3Y0J January 2023 de-expedition to Bove Island. You can hear Eric's entire interview with Otis on QSO Today, episode 418. Rain Hamcast podcast number 80 will post November 29th, 2022. Copyright 1985, 2022, RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. All rights reserved. RAIN programming is made available under a Creative Commons license. You are encouraged to download, share, host and transmit the Rain Hamcast in its entirety via amateur radio. Thanks to Tom Shimizu, N9JDI, for posting a not-for-broadcast version of these podcasts via the Rain Report channel on YouTube. Barry 73 from Rain. Keep on hamming!